Diaz goes full with Stott. The 3-2 on the way. Swung on. Line down the right field line. It's fair. Just inside the line. The game's tied. Castellanos in a third. Dusty is waving him home. Here's the relay to the plate. There'll be no throw. Phillies lead it as the birthday boy, Bryson Stott, puts the Phillies on top 5-4.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Cheeky's in South Philly. You can join us today and every Monday at 6 o'clock for the Brandon Graham Show. I hope Brandon brushed up on his Phillies for the show tonight. Cheeky's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought, so with them benching Bohm yesterday and putting Stott in the fifth spot, I thought it was a really interesting move by Topper, because it's not like he was lighting the ball up over two games, Stott. But I think Stott, out of everybody in the lineup, he and Harper had the best at-bats the first two games. Stott doesn't go up there. You can say he hasn't produced this year like we had hoped he would produce from a number standpoint. But the one thing you can say about Stott is that when he is typically not one of the over-aggressive guys. He doesn't go up there closing his eyes and swinging it, you know, a ball in the dirt, in that he will take pitchers, he'll work counts, he'll get a walk if he can. And I thought he proved that. He did that again yesterday, and then came. He just waited for his pitch in that at-bat, and he drilled it. And he's fast, but I've never seen Bryson Stott run as fast as he did getting to third base.
Well, and Castellanos.
Yeah.
When Castellanos scored, come all the way around.
It wasn't even close.
What did he gain? What did he start taking PEDs to run faster? It was ridiculous.
He's hustling, man.
Yeah.
Well, he's so funny. You weren't here in 22, but he said after the season, like, yeah, there's times in the regular season where I'm not really paying attention in right field.
Castellanos said that?
Yeah. And then he said, when the playoffs started, I feel like I had to lock in more. And that's like what I thought I saw yesterday. Like, he's kind of just chilling. And then, bang, he's actually still kind of fast.
The other thing on Harper, because I think this gets lost, and I want to make sure, because I was talking about the walk, I want to make sure I say this, because I felt it when he hit the home run yesterday. It is so cool to have a player in this town who comes through when you hope your best player comes through. And it's not going to happen every time, because that's not how baseball works. But there are not a ton of players in the history of sports who are not only great, but when you need him as a fan and when the team needs him as a team, you feel like you can depend on him, that he understands the gravity of the moment and understands when they needed him. And I told Jack, I was watching Harper's face a lot during yesterday's game, and the entire time there's not a smile, now you can see these frustrated moments where he's sitting there gritting his teeth at how the game is going, or, you know, makes a big play in the field, but you can just tell how badly he wants it and how locked in he is. And to have him hit a home run in the way that he hit it and the time that he hit it. By the way, he crushed it. It was like 430 feet.
Stared at it. How'd you like that?
When you hit it 430, you can stare at it.
Well, I mean, listen.
That's out of every ballpark.
He's hit him 410. He thought he hit it 430.
Well,
I'm just saying, that's what he does.
Well, as long as it goes 430, yes. I'm cool with you staring at it.
Spike, either you're the showman or you're not.
Well, Schwarber's a showman, but he never stares at them and they land on the warning
track. One yesterday.
He stared at that one. Saturday.
I'm just saying.
Almost hit one out.
Schwarber did. Yeah, you're right.
The moment from Harper yesterday was what we hope for with our great players here. It's what you hope for with your great players, that they are going to be the one when you need them the most to come through when they came through. And he led them yesterday.
Welcome to the Bryce Show.
Welcome to the party.
Well, I'm a 162-game player. Bryce might be an 11-game player.
No,
that's 11 win.
Listen, his.
Oh, you're a Castellanos guy.
Think about the numbers that he's put up.
I am a Casty guy.
It's only been 2+ postseasons since he's been here.
Uh-huh.
He owns franchise records already in just his postseason play.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he does in the postseason. I know Game 6 and 7 last year, notwithstanding. But this is what we've talked about, why he is beloved the way that he is in the short time that he's been here. People want him on a Mount Rushmore. You got Ruben Amaro already saying he could be, outside of Mike Schmidt, the second greatest Philly of all time. Like, this is what he's done in these moments. And it was fitting that he was the one who got it started yesterday. He's the most clutch athlete in the city.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to be clear, it does not mean that next – I don't care what happens this postseason. It does not mean that next year when I see him hit a fly ball that doesn't go out and he doesn't end up on second, I'm not going to mention it. I'll mention it forever. But that also come, but it comes with fair is fair, and it's all part of the deal.
Yeah.
And yesterday was part of the deal too. And I swear I got – misty-eyed when he hit that
home
run.
There you
go. Second time in a week.
Second time,
man. Well, because I won it for him. He is a great player, and that was a great moment. 215-592-9494. JP in Jenkintown. You're on WIP.
Jeff Speaker. Hey, guys. Hey, I got to tread lightly after I saw what you guys did to Corey earlier.
Got to know who hit the home runs, who didn't hit the home runs. That's all.
It's all good. Now, I mean, obviously Bryce changed everything yesterday. If it wasn't for that home run, I don't think the bats get hot at all. But I think the thing to be a little concerned about is the bullpen, you know, to where is obviously seeing what happened on Saturday, where Strom got lit up, Kirkland got lit up, Hoffman got lit up, and then to see last night that they go in the ninth inning after I saw Estevez in the eighth, I'm like, who are these guys going to bring out tonight? And then they bring out Strom again beyond going to Alvarado, who hadn't pitched in 2 days. So I didn't know what your guys' perspective was at, because we need Alvarado to be hot to win 10 more games in this postseason. If not, I don't see how we're going to hold teams like the Dodgers, let alone the Mets. But what are your guys' thoughts on with Alvarado, how to get him back involved?
Well, so I think at this point, they obviously view Strom and Hoffman as better. You know, Strom is an all-star this year. And I think in Rob Thompson's mind, he's thinking there, I want to get him back out there and get him back on the horse, get him back moving in the right direction, giving him some confidence. That is a two-run spot. I mean, it's a two-run spot. Alvarado, while was starting to pitch better, he still is more prone to walk guys than Strom. And the last thing you could do in that situation is allow a free 90, because free 90s, especially in that spot with the Mets, I think comes back to bite you. So I think it has to do with trying to get Strom back on his horse. Now, Strom let him down. And maybe we'll see a change in that heading into games 3 and 4. But you kind of, for as much as we talk about ride the horses in the lineup, those two are so integral, and Strom more important to me than Alvarado, to this team getting it going and figuring it out more than Alvarado.
I got to tell you, for the first time with Topper here in the postseason, I don't know what the hell he's going to do the next time.
Good.
Yeah, and that's a great thing.
Good.
Yep. And that's a great thing is that he's not being predictable. And there is a little bit of a gut feeling here, but there's also a willingness to at least be open to other things.
Yes.
And he's not going to wait till they're down in the series too far to do it.
Well,
I like it.
I think the other thing that I like about Topper that we asked for during the season, but he's showing it now, is a sense of urgency.
Yes.
I thought him benching Bohm was a message not just to Bohm, but to every. It was a message to Bohm, but it was a message to the lineup.
And Stott.
And Stott. Well, everybody. And Trey Turner and everyone who. And
he ain't benching Trey Turner.
Not that he's going to bench him, but I think it is a message like, hey, guys, this is a five-game series. We can't ease our way into this. Every at-bat is crucial. Every swing is crucial. So I thought him doing that, I thought him starting, whether you agree or disagree, I thought him starting Sanchez in game two was a sense of urgency about how important it is strategically. And as far as the, JP, as far as your question about Alvarado, the other thing that you didn't mention, Jack, about Alvarado is maybe I'm just being body language guy, but Alvarado looks like he gets shook more than Strom does. He gets shook. And if he's
more emotional. Well, I guess Strom's pretty emotional on the mound, too.
Not verbally. Yeah.
I still trust Strom more. And I do buy into the notion that that week off, there's more rust on pitchers than it is hitters, I think.
Yeah, and it even might be, obviously, like you said earlier, Jack, with, you know, the Mets really not having too many lefties. You know, and even Lindor will go righty, you know, if a lefty.
And you want him batting righty, in my opinion. Lefty, he has a little bit more power.
Here's what I'll say to that, though.
Thank you for the call, Jake.
Strom, you can have as much faith as you want to. It's been twice now.
Yep.
It's been twice.
It has.
This is a short series, not a seven-game series. So, to me, that would be falling into the trust in the guys, letting them figure it out sort of deal, man. They are hitting this dude hard.
They are. Well, you know, the craziest thing about the home run that happened in the ninth off of Strom was that he struck Bader out on that same pitch. Now, maybe he didn't set it up the same way, but when he has this thing where he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour, but where he ends up putting the fastball and how he sets it up, it seems like players have a really hard time catching up to it if he's throwing it at the right time and the right place. And that he struck Bader out on that same pitch. I don't know. It was crazy. I don't know
how Vientos hit that out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hear it off the bat that he struck it pretty well. But now in seeing the replay of it, that's an impressive home run.
Yeah. So JT Realmuto talked after the game about the Phil's offense and sort of loosening up. And here's what he said.
I think so, yeah. A couple of us were saying after the game, all right, we can breathe now. You know, it's like for whatever reason, it felt a little tense, a little tight coming into the series, and we just weren't really ourselves in the box. I feel like now we can kind of let loose and just play our brand of baseball.
I don't love that. I guess it's fine that he's being honest. I don't love that they were tight coming into the series.
You were.
Well, I'm not on the team. I don't have to. You know.
I know, but I'm just saying, like it's when you're in these competitive situations, right? It's a thin line between being loose and tight coming into the series, and it's all performance based, right? It's results based because if they're loose and they don't win, and it's like, well, hell, tighten up in there. This is a serious thing.
Lock in.
So again, you don't want to be overly tight. And I don't know if you can say that about every – Zach Wheeler wasn't tight.
No, he was not.
He didn't pitch like he was tight. I thought it was they couldn't pick up the ball through the shadows.
They said that, yes.
So maybe JT was sort of speaking for himself or some other guys, maybe.
I don't know.
These guys have been to the World Series.
Yeah, but that's –
They've been through this already.
That's the same reason why I was surprised that he said it.
Yeah, and now they have expectations, which is the big difference.
Yeah.
No longer the underdogs. I'm very curious to see how they
– Bryce is not tight.
Well, Bryce lives for this. You know that. Come on. Rocky said so. But
I just think sometimes – and that's why you shouldn't say things like this, because it gets casted over the entire team – when you may be talking about one or two guys.
Uh-huh. He might have just been talking about himself.
Like Kyle Schwarber wasn't tight. He hit the first ball out for him. He hit a home run, his first at bat.
Yeah. Maybe he's just talking for himself.
That's what I meant. Like maybe he's just talking about himself.
And I really hope they're right. It's just when he said that, it reminded me of when they beat the Guardians and they said we needed that. They had these moments when they were struggling saying, okay, there's the game that we're back. And hopefully it can translate over to tomorrow. Very curious to see how they come out. If they come out, play loose, play their game, I think they're fine. If they start tightening up again, that would worry me heading into game four.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. All right, question. After yesterday's win, what is your confidence level in the Phillies winning the series? Very confident, pretty confident, or still not confident? Ike, where do you feel like the ranking of very confident, pretty confident, still not confident?
I would be pretty confident.
Okay, so pretty.
I don't think today everybody is not very confident.
So pretty confident leads with 52%.
Yeah.
But then still not confident at 32%. And very confident at 16%.
Yeah.
So people know. Yeah, you said it at the beginning. This is going to be. This is not going to be an easy series.
No.
Yeah. There's nothing about this.
No. That's it. Phillies in five.
Phillies in five.
215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, your guy did it for you yesterday. You're on WIP.
Hey, Ike, Spike, and Jack. What's up, man? What's going on? How y'all feeling?
What's
I'm
up,
feeling
Chuck?
Pretty damn good.
What up? Hey. Yes.
No. I'm serious, man.
Go ahead. Let it roll.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, man. We got, you know, this guy is the single greatest baseball player in the world, okay? And Spike, this is why, you know, he can say corny things like, you know, Rocky, we did it for Rocky, or Rocky could have been proud, and nobody bats an eye. Because he's the greatest, you know what I mean? This guy, you know, I wouldn't want nobody else in October than Bryce Harper.
Third highest postseason OPS in the history of baseball,
And Jack, I'm not even mentioning just his offensive skills. I'm talking about his defense, the Gold Glovin skills.
Oh, he's a vacuum.
Pretty good over there, yeah.
Vacuum.
Pretty good over there. Yeah.
You know, my man was locked in yesterday, man. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Spike, Joel needs to be taking notes. Talk to Joel to take some notes. Just write some notes now.
Well, they have the same number of championships.
There it is.
They have the same number of championships.
How many Rocky quotes?
Well, that's a good point. Bryce does lead in Rocky quotes.
He got 10 more wins, Mike. That's all. He got 10 more wins. Listen, I just need Trey Turner. Trey Turner, for the life of me, please. Just turn into the old Trey Turner, man. Give me something.
Come on, man. You didn't like the 35 hopper through the infield yesterday? I mean, hold on. No one's talking about the Trey Turner walk in the ninth. And the Trey Turner walk in the ninth is a big spot. That's two outs. They had a lot of two-out rallies yesterday.
And he did put the ball on the bat. I mean, he did put the bat on the ball. He had two singles yesterday. That's actually what I want from Trey Turner.
Bag.
Yeah.
I need more, man. I'm telling you, we got 10 more wins. 10 more wins. That's all we got to get. You know what I mean? And, you know, Trey Turner's hitting before Bryce. And then Castellanos can hit, you know, and make people pay. And Bryce Harper get more pitches thrown to him. I like our chance. Whoa! Damn, I like it, bro. I tell you, keep throwing my man the ball. Because I'm telling you, he's going to hit every ball that's coming his way. If you keep pitching, he gets all the pitches. I'm telling you, I love our chances. So what I'm saying is this, right? Castellanos is the most important player right now in this run because he's hitting behind the best. And if he can hit, just make people pay. I'm telling you, man, this guy is going to lead us to the promised land. We got 10 more wins, fellas. I'm counting down. And we world champions. Go up to New York tomorrow, you know what I mean? You know, and take two of these guys. Take two of them. We don't need to come back for a game five. I mean, I'll take the split, but I want to get these guys out of here. And I tell you, with the Mets, you got to get them out of here, I'm telling you, because they can give them a little wiggle room. Those guys just keep coming back. They're like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers. You got to put a slug in them and just keep pounding them because they want to keep coming back. All right? So I'm telling you. And the thing about the bullpen, right? Listen, I trust Hoffman and I trust
Strom.
And I'm going to tell you a reason why, right? Strom was still throwing strikes. You know what I mean? He was still throwing strikes. He still had stuff. He was getting people out. You know what I mean? He gave up a timely run. I get that, home run. But I trust him, and I trust Hoffman. He came in a one-score game. Everybody's not Zach Wills. Everybody's not Wills, man. So, you know what I mean? I give him a pass. We won that game yesterday. That's why I give him a pass. But I trust those two guys coming out the bullpen to get it together up there against the Mets, man. I'll tell you, what, 10 more wins. 10 more, fellas. No, come on, Nola. You're the longest tender Philly. We need you to come out and show you the longest tender Philly. And bleep everything out.
Yes.
I'd be happy. I would. All right, thank you for the call, Chad.
Dude, the OMG thing when they hit a home run is
so annoying.
Oh, it's so annoying.
I'm going to kill him.
Oh, my God. Freaking Alonso's stupid face, how happy he looks. He's like, God, he's the guy in Little League that everyone hated. Him and Nimmo. You heard me cursing out Nimmo yesterday.
I did. So I had a settle Jack down yesterday.
Yeah.
It wasn't going well early.
No, it wasn't going right. And he screamed something at Rojas that was filthy. Language-wise,
yeah,
and I had to give him the, hey, buddy, you're a well-known guy in an area with children. You can yell at Rojas. Just the word choice.
Yeah.
You gotta be a little bit better on the word choice.
I was really mad.
He was mad.
Are you being a parent at the game?
I just didn't want a video of Jack on the internet. It was pretty intense, Ike.
Well, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I had to take a walk.
He had to leave. He left. He left for two. Yeah. He left for both home runs.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
He left for the home runs, man.
I told you, it's tough watching the game with Jack.
Yeah,
he really is no fun.
No, not at all.
And I
try to loosen him up.
I tell people that.
Yeah, you don't want you to loosen him up either.
Well, then he came back, and I go in to give him a hug, and he squeezes me so hard, I think he broke one of my ribs. Lifted me up like I was a
this is after the home run?
After the back-to-back, yes.
Okay.
So I left.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I left before back-to-back because if I wanted to watch a slow death, I wanted to do it by myself.
Right.
And
but he always believed.
But I always believed. I never had a doubt. Had him all the way. And when they hit the two home runs, I came sprinting back, gave everyone a hug, and then went back to my position.
Then left.
Then Kirkring let the home run, and I said, all right, I got to go watch the boys.
Yeah. So Chuck brought up Trey Turner. With that walk in the ninth, bought himself another 2 days of where I'm not going to use a nickname that I'd come up with Trey. Watching Trey Turner at-bats are infuriating because he swings hard in a way that it seems like he doesn't even expect to hit the ball. Like he's giving the pitcher a strike or something.
Yeah, well, see, and we were talking about this yesterday, Spike, with him and Castellanos. What do you think they're going to throw you at the first pitch?
Right.
What do you think they're going to throw you?
It's going to be a breaking ball away.
Of course they're going to throw you a slider or a sweeper.
Yes.
Why would they throw you a fastball? What are you swinging for? Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
I just want him getting hits. I don't need him hitting home runs. I want him getting hits. I want him a little lot. But he's going to be the death of me these playoffs. I might need to take a walk during the Trey Turner at bats, actually.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
215-592-9494. Tom in Dover. You're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Yo, what's up, guys? How y'all doing? You know what? I didn't mean to say that. Ain't that something, man? I've been waiting to get on y'all show, practicing not to say how y'all doing. As soon as I get on, I say how y'all doing.
That's how you caught yourself. You caught yourself. It's all good.
Listen, I've been trying to get on here for a while because I got a little beef with Jack. Y'all guys might not know about it, but Jack knows about it because I'm pretty sure James Seltzer done told him 1,000 times how much I've been trying to get on y'all show, and Jack won't take my calls.
Ah, he's running from you.
I don't believe that, but
exactly.
I'm sure I'm curious.
Well, why is he running from you, though?
Yeah, well, I don't know what this is about.
Because a while ago, y'all was on here talking about rappers. Long time ago.
About practice.
And I called.
About rappers or practice?
Rappers.
Oh, well, this is rappers. That's my fault, no matter what
you're doing. Right, y'all was talking about rappers a long time ago. And I called the next day, so when he answers the phone, he said, yeah, well, what do you want to talk about, Tom? And I said, first of all, y'all was talking about rappers yesterday, and nobody said Nas. How y'all going to talk about rappers and nobody said Nas? He's the best out of all them guys.
And what did I say?
Because we're not big Nas fans.
Well, and also, it's a day later. What do you want me to say? We'll get you right up there?
So he says, oh, I don't even know who Nas is.
Oh.
It puts me on hold.
Well, that's not good.
I was kind of trolling.
Since then.
Yeah.
That's
but
not good.
Today I'm calling because, fight, you surprised me today. Really, you did. You sound scared when you first opened up. There's no need to be scared. They do the first punch. The Mets do the first punch. We punch back. Now we got them thinking. You know, they've been punching people around this whole second half of the season, and now they finally got punched back. So now they going back home, and they going to be thinking like, oh, man, these guys seem like they got their mojo back. And I think we do got our mojo back.
I don't feel that from the Mets. I think the Mets left yesterday feeling like, sure, they lost the game, but also –
oh, they got what they want. They wanted to split.
They wanted to split, and they. I think there's still a worry. I mean, there's still clearly worry in the fan base. I mean, a good portion of people still think they're not very confident in the season, so or in the series. I don't feel like the Mets are.
Mets fans feel the same way.
Well, I don't think the Mets fan. I don't think the Mets team is like tucking their tails, like, oh my god, we woke that team up.
Well, yeah, neither are the Phillies.
I know.
Yeah,
but if we're talking.
We're talking two different things. We're talking fans versus the players. Our fans are naturally nervous all the time about everything. And I'm saying the Mets fans feel the same damn way as our fans do. They're not overconfident right now. Now, the players, which is way more important, I agree. I don't think Mets players are afraid of the Phillies.
I don't think
they
so.
They aren't. But that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Just because you're not afraid, it doesn't mean you're not going to get your ass whooped.
Oh,
it just
sure.
means it's going to be a good fight.
Punched in the mouth.
That's all it is. Listen, and a true champion – somebody who really is about that life, they don't mind that. They don't mind. They want to go up against somebody who will fight them back versus somebody who's going to run and tuck tail. So the Phillies aren't worried about that. The Phillies are like, all right, now you got our attention. Now we're awake. I didn't tweet that out yesterday, but
now
I started
awake.
To. Yeah, now I'm awake. Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Tom. Yeah, I just think Tom's point was, well, the Mets are worried now. I don't think the Mets are. The Mets lost game two against the Mets have continued to come back for months now, honestly. This is their signature. And I agree with both of you. They wanted to split. And also, I think in yesterday's game, you don't walk away from a loss feeling good about it. But I do think that they got to Strom again. They hit home runs. Like, they walk away from that game going, we can beat this team. Like, the Mets are not scared of the Phillies. I don't think the Phillies are scared of the Mets, but the Mets are definitely not shaken.
Yeah.
I
don't think, did anybody believe that coming in? That the Mets were somehow going to be afraid of the big, bad Phillies?
No, I don't think so.
I think everybody was worried about what the Phillies would look like offensively. That's why I'm focused on that. They scored 7 runs yesterday. They had clutch hits yesterday. They came up big late in the game. That's what I'm focused on. Damn, the Mets, they've been riding around on pixie dust for the last 2 months. They're on cloud 9. It's the Phillies that we're concerned about, and from far as I'm concerned, They answered the bell yesterday late in the game. They got clutch hits from their best players. They drove in runs. And even when the Mets came back, you know what happened? The Phillies came back. So that's what I look at. That's what I look at. Like, the Mets are in trouble if the Phillies are on their A game.
I agree. And
that's how I'm looking at it. If we get our A game going, we win. We might go up there and win both games.
That we were talking in the pregame show yesterday. Yes, this team can go cold for stretches, but the reason that they were fifth in the league in runs scored is because they are hot as much as they're cold.
Yes.
So let's go get hot.
Yes.
Let's go get hot for a couple of series instead of being cold, and then we'll figure it out later. But if they're hot now, I agree with you that yeah. This team is a son of a bitch to play against when they're hot. You know, they're maddening for us when they're cold, but the reason that they've been.
That's because we focus on when they're cold.
Sure.
Because they're cold at the wrong times. But for them to be as good as they are and have the second best record in baseball, they had to be hot more often than they were cold.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Coming up next, Joe Wechter put together an amazing montage of highlights from yesterday's game. So we will play that for you next. It'll give you chills. Get you psyched up for tomorrow's game. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Join us every Monday at 6 o'clock for the Brandon Graham Show, Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles.